Thank you, Grace. We appreciate you playing for us. She's had that instrument 3 weeks. So anyway, that was her birthday present. And she did not play the guitar before that. So I just say we have an angel that is harp, now has her harp, and now she's harping. So anyway, but we appreciate that song. Let our children be dismissed to Children's Church. So if you want to let them go back and why they are leaving, please turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, and then we will go, after the introduction, we will go to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. Very familiar passage that we've been reading and studying and working our way through, and we're going to continue on verse 7 on love this morning, and then next week and then following week, you'll note the following verses which go through what are the blessings of spiritual growth, of abundant Christian living, but we'll get on down through verse 7 again today. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for your word, and Lord, we thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, we just ask you to bless that our hearts might be open, and Lord, that you might teach us and challenge us this morning as we look at the topic once again of love. And Lord, help us to realize how important it is that we demonstrate true biblical love to those around us. And Lord, we just give this time to thee. May our hearts be open, and Lord, may you challenge us and change us, or that we might be used to have an impact for Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we've been going through, I'll give you, of course, what we have so far, and then we'll add thereon to as we go to 1 John chapter 4. As you know, Peter is writing, and of course, Peter, James, and John, as you know, were the three disciples of the inner circle. The Apostle Peter is writing in his day to Christians who are scattered in northern Turkey to the four provinces due to persecution, and it was around Nero's persecution where he was actually seeking out and putting to death Christians. He writes to them that, and the declaration very simply is this, that God has provided all you need for spiritual prosperity or abundant Christian living. Regardless of your situation, you can be victorious, you can be used, you can have an impact, you can rise above your situation, and you can still shine for Jesus Christ. You are all saved the same way, you have the same faith in Jesus Christ, the same faith that Peter had, and that salvation is not works, it's through Christ, faith in Christ. And in Christ we also have grace, all we need to go through our trials and situation, and also we can be at peace in the midst of those trials because we know God's in charge. He also says that you also have the power for Christian living, or you have the divine empowerment to be victorious. You have within you the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That same Holy Spirit can empower you to live the abundant Christian life in such a way that you can actually be a partaker of the very nature of God Himself. Now, this is very important because we often make excuses on why we are not shining and why we are not having any impact. We blame our circumstances. If you knew what I went through, or you knew my background, or if you knew how I grew up, and you knew all these excuses, Peter removes them and says there's really no excuse. Where you live, the situation you're in, your circumstances are not going to or should not dictate your spiritual vibrancy and your spiritual growth and your spiritual impact. Then he goes on, is since we have these blessings, now you need to do a work. You need to be diligent. Make every effort to add into your life certain virtues and certain characteristics. These need to be coursed in through the work of the Holy Spirit. Upon your faith, then start building, start coursing in, and start making this beautiful, beautiful life through the work of the Holy Spirit. Add virtue. That is moral excellence. That's being upright. That's just plain being honest. It's a man of integrity, a man who is morally pure. That's what it is, a man of virtue. And then add knowledge. That is that practical wisdom where you spend time in God's Word and you allow God's Word to be your guidebook and your instruction for how to live, and you make the decisions on a daily basis on what does God's Word say. That's where you start. Practical wisdom, living by the principles of God's Word. And then add on to that, temperance is going to take self-control. You have desires in your heart, they must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. You have to yield to the Spirit's control. You also need patience. You're going to have to endure, keep doing what's right, even though it's not popular or not necessarily easy. And you also need godliness, where you glorify Jesus Christ in everything you do and say. Every aspect of your life, you bring glory to Him. And then you need brotherly kindness. That's benevolence in action, where we are kind and gracious and loving in action to brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we need love. And that's where we left off last week. Love. Well, love is one of those words that, as you know, we defined it this way. It is God's love, and that's the agape love that he's referring to in the Greek. It is God's love for us. That is the love that is supposed to be in our heart and in our life. And we defined it this way. It is a deliberate desire for the highest good of the other and is demonstrated in sacrificial giving. That is a definition we use. Now, you can find it is one of those things, a love is one of those aspects of God that is really too big to totally grasp, but we grow in our love, we are to abound in our love and overflow, and throughout your whole life, you should be growing in this loving relationship with Him and toward others, but that is a simple definition. Love is demonstrated, or how is it determined, we would say. Love's determination, we brought out, is God is love. And He placed His Holy Spirit in my life when I accepted Christ at the age of 16 as my personal Savior. The Holy Spirit came to indwell within me. And so I have that power living within me so I can actually portray His character through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is love, and that love was placed within me through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's not dependent upon the response of whether they respond in a nice way to my love. It's dependent upon my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as I walk with Him, and as was brought out in Sunday school, yield to the vine. I am the vine, he is the vine, I am the branches, and we are, as you note, to yield to that vine, and who is Jesus Christ. And as we yield, we can bring forth fruit, and one of those fruits is going to be the fruit of love. Love is also, of course, demonstrated, as you know, by Christ, and it's to be demonstrated by us. And the love is also, as we brought out last week, it is demanded. If we are going to have impact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have to demonstrate God's love to others. Now, I want to go with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. And in 1 John, you'll note the Apostle John, Peter, James, and John. John is writing, and the whole purpose of the book is to really bring assurance of salvation. I've written these things unto you so you can know that you're truly saved. So you don't have to doubt, you don't have to worry, you don't have to question, you can know you're saved. And throughout the book of John, he gives us we'd say evidence after evidence after evidence, evidence of a person who is truly saved. It is like you went to court and you are,
having this trial, and the evidence is laid out. And he lays out about 12 different evidences that show in a very practical way that a person is truly born again. Now, that is a whole message in itself. But that gives you the background of 1 John, and we're going to pick up on verse 4, and you'll find one of those referred to, which is love. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. We'll look at the whole chapter from then on, but I'm going to read at this point down through verse 12. And here's what he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, but God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." And that's where we'll stop at this point. I want you to note, first of all, he gives us in this passage, he brings out, first of all, a command. Beloved, we are to love one another. That is a command. It's not an option. It is for Christians. We are to love one another. The basis of the command is then given, and or we would say the why we should love each other. And he gives us at least five things in the following verses that show the importance of love that ought to be in the life of the believer. And it will be if the person is truly saved. It will be. God's love will be there. That agape love that is intense, is volitional. As you note, it's sacrificial. It's unchanging. It's unending. You're going to just love because that love of God is in your heart. Now, first of all, love is the very nature of God himself. The reason love ought to be in your life as a believer, it is the very nature of God. Love is more than just, we would say, an attribute of God. It is much more. It is the very essence of God himself. He has a perfect relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Son of God and God the Father, and they dwell in perfect love and perfect harmony. And we who've been invited into that relationship as a child of God, we ought to show that love. It ought to be evidence, because love is the very nature of God himself. It's who God is. And since I am a child of God and his Holy Spirit dwells within me, I ought to have that love. I'd like to notice, secondly, the very nature of love has been, secondly, implanted within me. I've been born of God. I have the Holy Spirit within him, and I am a child of God. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. Here's what it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, it's his nature, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love." The second reason they're showing it is so important is the very nature of love has been implanted in me. The believer has been given his nature. I have the Holy Spirit. And since God is love, then I should also be able to say that I have that love because I have the Holy Spirit. And the more I know him and the more I grow in him, the more his love is going to be showing up in my life. Where there is no love, there's no salvation. And John makes it very clear. This is one of the evidences of a person truly being saved, is he's going to have God's love in his heart. Love is his proof of the divine nature has been implanted within me. Now, let's ask you this question this morning. Do you have God's love? The world cannot have God's love. Did you ever think about that? Unsaved people only have an emotional, a physical, a type of love, but it's not of God. They don't have God's love. They don't even know what it is because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. It's for Christians. They don't have the divine nature. And so you say it's no wonder the world will have a mess in relationships. Why? Because they don't know what love really is. It's for Christians. And if you don't have God's love, you're not truly, truly a child of God. I don't care what you say or what prayer you pray, you really don't have salvation. And that's what John is saying. Because love, that nature of God, has been implanted within you as a believer. And if it's not there, you're not saved. I like this thirdly, love, the importance of love. Love is perfectly displayed through Jesus Christ. You do not find a greater picture of love anywhere than the love of God. And that's what he goes through in the following verses, in verses 9 through 11. And here's what he says. And this was manifested or declared or revealed, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. What John is saying, love is the very nature of God himself, and this has been implanted within the believers, and love is perfectly displayed in the life of Jesus Christ. God declared it. He revealed it to the world when he sent his only begotten Son, which means only one of a kind. He had not only was it revealed there, but it was displayed for all to see. Not that we as a world deserved it or could earn it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Romans chapter 5 verse 8 talks about what God demonstrated or commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that we were wonderful. It wasn't that we deserved it. It wasn't that we could earn it. God loved us. That's who God is. And it's perfectly declared in Jesus Christ. And that's what John is saying, this unconditional, this sacrificial, this eternal, this intense, this purposeful, this volitional, and this unselfish love was seen in Jesus Christ, where he came and died on the cross of Calvary to pay for all of our sin. Now you think of what it was for that to take place. I think so often we say it, but we really don't think much about it. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus Christ to leave heaven? Perfect place to be. Absolutely perfect. And he stepped out of heaven and took on the form of a servant. Can you imagine he came and was born in a manger? Now, this is the God of the universe. Took upon flesh and became this little helpless baby, totally dependent upon sinners. And then to grow up in a very humble home, a carpenter's son, ridiculed all of his life because they said he was born because of fornication. And then he began his ministry, and he walked and he lived among people, sinners. And he taught them and revealed to them God. Through the miracles, through the things he said, through what he did, he was showing to the world who he was. He was a long-awaited Messiah who lived a sinless, perfect life. And the sinners couldn't take it. And so they put him on a cross. And he laid his life down willingly. And you think about the crucifixion. We can't imagine it in our culture. We can't imagine it in our culture. What a crucifixion was like, to spit upon and be beaten and whipped, and so he didn't even look like a man. And then he laid down his life, and there he died on the cross of Calvary to pay for all of our sin. We who are undeserving sinners, he did it because he loved us. You do not find a greater example of love than in Jesus Christ. And that's what John is saying. True love is manifested in Jesus Christ because he declared it to the world. Christ's work was also completed. When he died, he said it is finished. What was finished? The work was done. Salvation was totally paid for. All sin of all time was paid for when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And it was a triumphant cry when he died. It is finished. What's finished? The work's done. And a lot of people are trying to work for their salvation. I want to say plainly, clearly, lovingly, the work's been done. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. Christ did it all. We work and we live not for salvation. We work and live right because we put our trust in Christ and we're a child of God who ought to represent him properly. We have to get it correct. It says he was a propitiation. You say, what does that mean? Well, the word means literally complete satisfaction. See, sin had to be paid for. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God pronounced judgment upon them. They would be separated from God, but God also promised that out of love, he would send a Redeemer. Verse 15. And this Redeemer would come and he would die and he would pay for the sin of the world. And all the Jews, you'll note throughout the Old Testament, they looked for that. Not all, but many did. As a nation, and they had it pictured, and they had it prophesied that he was going to come, and he was going to do, and he was going to pay for the sin of the world. And so God could completely be satisfied with that work that was done. Christ completely satisfied the demands of a holy God that sin had to be paid for. It had to be atoned for. And when Christ died, it was completely done. And when he arose from the dead, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, was a declaration that God was satisfied. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been resurrected. The resurrection proved that, yes, it was completely done. And God was satisfied with the wonder of the work of salvation. Love is not only the nature of God, that nature has been placed within us, but God, love is perfectly displayed through the life of Jesus Christ. That brings us to, you'll note in verse 11, he says this, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. That's what John is trying to get us to understand, is listen, God so loved you, how can we help but not love other people? That brings to the fourth one. God's love is revealed through believers who love one another. And I want you to note with me, look with me at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, what is John saying? No one has seen God. So how are they going to see God? They see God when we love one another. We are displaying or portraying God to the world. In fact, John puts it this way in John chapter 13, talking about love, that by this shall all men know that you're my disciple in that ye have love one for another. That's how we demonstrate God's love. They haven't seen God, nor will they see God, but they see God in us. And that's the tragedy. They might not read the Bible. They might not go to church. But we are to portray it, and we are to reveal it. We are to picture it, because no one's seen him, but they see us. And when they see God's love in us, they see God. And see, it's so important when you talk about the importance of loving people. It is really, really important because that opens up their heart to the gospel. They can't understand it because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They can't explain it because they don't know God's word. They haven't seen it because they haven't seen God. But they see it in you and they can't explain it, and it draws them to God. Because God's love is revealed in you. Jesus came to earth to reveal the Father. No one has seen the Father, and as Christ's love is revealed in us, they are able to see the Father. And because of God's love, they're drawn to Christ. That brings to the fifth one. Is God's love has reached its goal when we love one another. Now the word in this passage, as you look at verse 12, it says, no man has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or completed in us. It means to arrive at its proper destiny. When we show God's love has arrived at its proper destiny. God's love has reached its goal when we love one another because one of his ultimate purposes is that we reveal his love to the world. It's completed. You say, how important is it that I love people? Well, I want you to look at the following verses, and I'll begin reading in verse 13, and we'll read on down through the end of the chapter. He kind of puts it all together. He said, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we who loveth God love his brother also. Now, what is John saying? John is kind of tying it together, and he says it this way. True believers have the Holy Spirit. True believers profess Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, and true believers have the love of God in their heart, and that love casteth out fear. They don't have to fear in judgment because they know him. And it is a revelation that they are truly born again because they love one another. And see, sometimes we forget it is so important that we just love. Now you say, that means I have to love the unlovely. Well, Christ loved the unlovely when he loved you and me. We had down the street just this week a couple that moved in on the street. I met the one, and his name was this name. I won't give you the name, okay? I said, do you have a family here? Well, I have a partner, and his partner name was a male, as his was a male. Naturally, I have a hard time. Because it is such a violation of Scripture. But the truth is this, I am to love them and to try to, through love, point them to Christ. Christ loves them just as much as he loves me. And I need to keep that in mind. If I am going to portray Christ to the world, I have to love the unlovely. Because he loved me. We have a Mall of America. Maybe you've been there in Minneapolis, which is 70 miles from our house, was the Mall of America. I think I went there twice, maybe three times. I don't know. It was one of those places I did not like to go. My wife liked to go and look sometimes, and I think a couple of times I went along just to humor her and pretend I loved her. But anyway, nonetheless, we went, okay? I did it because I loved her. But it's interesting to see people walk around wearing turbans and who you know what has happened in America, and you see the Muslim people. And you see some that are carrying, we saw one that was taking pictures and they had a backpack on. You know, it makes you think. But Jay and I were talking, you know, even though they're here and we hope they're peace-loving, they might not be. But, you know, God loves Muslims too. God loves them, and he died for the Muslims. And you say, well, they're trying to destroy us. Yes, some are. Absolutely. They hate us, and they hate really Christ. But we are to love them. And see, I don't know who's in your life that you say, man, they are really, really unlovable. Well, see, your job is to love, and my job is to love the unlovable anyway, because God loved this unlovable person also. And we love him not because we are lovable. We love him because he first loved us. And I don't know who's in your life or around you that you say, boy, they're hard to get along with. They're hard to deal with. They hate us. That could be, and they hate you. But you know what? They need to see Christ's love. That doesn't mean we condone what people do and say, great, we're with you. No, that's not it. We preach the truth, and we tell the truth. But we speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We're to speak it in love. And loving people, even though they might not be lovable, is one of the ways that demonstrates to the world that we're truly saved. And it also gives assurance in our heart that we're truly saved because we love people anyway. We love them. Jesus Christ loves me. And he loves me not because I'm good, I'm lovable, I'm perfect, I'm whatever. No, Jesus Christ loves me, and I am to love people. It is how I show the very nature of Christ. It's been placed within me, God's love, through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm to show it because Christ loved me, and it's how I show to the world that I'm truly a child of God. See, they might not like your message. In fact, they might hate it. But one of the things they can't get their arms around is why you love them anyway. They just can't grasp it. And see, we can't love them unless we're saved. And I hope you understand that is how you show that you're truly born again. By loving the unlovable. How important is it, or how hard is it, to show love to people who love you? Now that's easy. It's easy for me to show love to my wife because she loves me. But it's a hard, hard thing to show love to those who aren't your friends, who don't love you, but we are to love them anyway. Because God loved me. Now I want to ask you this question as we close. Who can you show love, Christ's love, to this week? Who you know is probably not one who loves you. We're supposed to. We're to invite him. We're to show God's love. Love is one of those things that breaks down the barriers between us and the lost. Show Christ's love. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. I want to spend some time on love again this morning because it is so important that we grasp
that love is of the nature of God himself, and that nature has been in place within us when we accepted Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And love is what shows God to the world. And it demonstrates to others that we're truly a child of God. And it gives assurance of salvation because it removes the fear, because God's love is in us. Now my question is this: what about those who you disagree with? Those people who disagree with you, the people who maybe are your enemies or maybe against you or out to hurt you. Do you hate them? That's not going to win them. Do you speak evil of them? That's not going to change them. Or do you show them God's love? That's what we are to do. How many, Pastor Moeller, God has spoken to me, and you say, Pastor, I have really been struggling with some people that are hard to love. And you'd say, Pastor, with God's help, I'm going to ask God to help me to love them and to show his love to them. Even though I don't agree with what they're doing, what they're saying, or how they're acting, or how they're living, or I don't agree with what they believe, I'm going to show them God's love. And you say, God has revealed to me someone that I need to show God's love to. And with God's help, I'm going to. Will you raise your hands? Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See, it's easy to love those who love us. It's hard to love those who hate us. But that's how we reveal God to them. Our Father, do thank thee so much for your love, and we thank thee so much that you loved us so much that you died on the cross of Calvary to save us. Lord, there's not one in this room or in the world that deserves it or could earn it. But Lord, you loved us, and Lord, we just thank thee so much for the gift of salvation that is free, given to us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. And Lord, help us to realize that your love that was so demonstrated in Christ is the kind of love that we are to demonstrate to the world around us, and is not based upon how they respond. It's based upon our relationship with you. And Lord, we long to be used. We long to have a life that's impacting. And Lord, we ask you to help us to love people the way you love us. And Lord, be each hand that was raised representing a different need, a different situation, a different name. Lord, just give them strength. Lord, draw them close to you and help them to walk with you and yield to the Holy Spirit's control, that God's love might shine through them and they might be able to have impact upon that life. And Lord, we ask you just to bless that we might grow in our love toward you and grow in our love toward others, that we might show God, who they're not able to see, that they might see God in us. And Lord, we ask you to teach us this and help us to live it. And Lord, we think even of this day as we have the plaza service, we ask you to bless there, that you'll do a work in the hearts. Lord, speak through us. And Lord, we ask you to just really work, that someone might come to know you through our ministry there. And Lord, we ask you to bless also the evening service as we spend some time just fellowshipping. Lord, may we grow in thee. And Lord, may we have a wonderful time together. And Lord, may we have a safe time together. And Lord, use us for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.